How can someone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb? The question Nicodemus asks reminds me of a short reflection that I read some years ago. It reads this way: life is altogether backwards. It takes up all your time, including weekends, and at the end of it, what do you get? A coffin, an urn. The life cycle should be reversed. You should die first. Get that out of the way. Then live the next 20 years in an assisted living facility until you're too young and they kick you out. Then you get a gold watch and you spend the next 40 years working so that you can use that watch for something. You work until you're young enough to retire, and then you go to college, which makes for perfect timing as you have 60 years worth of questions and curiosities accrued. After college, there's high school. High school, middle school. Oh, middle school. Think what a benefit it would be to have all the seasoning and experience to manage the adolescent challenges of those years. Then grade school. And then you become a kid, and all you do is play. You become an infant and go back into your mother's womb, and you spend the next 9 months floating in this wonderful, comfortable, cozy place. Here's the best part. You end up as a twinkle in somebody's eye. How can someone be born after having grown old? Was Nicodemus's question. It was a response to that fascinating, intriguing, curious, confounding statement Jesus makes. No one can see the kingdom of God, the realm of God, without having been born from above. Other versions translate that, born again. And that phrase, that idea, has been the source of exhilaration and joy for countless Christians across 20 centuries, and of confusion and vexation for countless others. What does it mean to be born again, born from above? When in doubt, go to the Greek. We're going to have a little word study here. Those two words paired together, geneste anothen. And that second word, anothen, we'll remember or recognize, because change one letter on that word and you get the word another. Anothen, N, R, another. Another geneste. We have an idea already. Geneste, we may not recognize as easily, but what if I gave you a hint? It's the same word translated to mean the name of the very first book of the Bible. Geneste, Genesis. Another Genesis. Now we're onto something. As though with those words, Jesus is saying, God wants to take hold of your frame gently and begin a work of creation inside of you as though it were the beginning of the world, your world. And from the chaos, bring order. From the darkness, light. From the void, fullness. Creation, Genesis, another Genesis is what Jesus seems to be summoning in Nicodemus and those who overhear that conversation. Let's go backward for a moment for context and then forward. If we go backward, we remember how John begins his gospel. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God and the Word was God. And all things were created through the Word. John is associating creation with the Word, and then tells us some verses on, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And who is that? Jesus. Jesus is the Word still at work in creating the world and the world inside of each of us. That is how John understands Jesus' ministry, his encounters with everyone he meets. And now let's go beyond these verses to that other prize verse that we, so many of us, know and love and cherish. For God so loved the world that God gave us Jesus, so that those who believe in him, who not figure out what he meant when he said that, but trust it anyway, to be born again, born from above, those who trust Jesus' words do not perish, do not die, do not grow old and leave the world without ever having lived, but have eternal life. And we know in John's gospel, eternal life doesn't begin at the grave. It begins at belief in Jesus. To trust Jesus is to begin already to experience new life, new birth, another Genesis at work. There are two ways that I've experienced and seen that we come to another Genesis, to a second birth, to a birth from above. The first, I would say, is through discovery. We're moving along through the paces of life, doing the routine things, and all of a sudden, we wake up one day or one afternoon, there's an aha moment from inside our hearts, and we discover a call, a claim on our lives. We follow worship into the world and sense that we have a way to go we never had before, clearer than ever, more purposeful and focused. My gifts and graces that the world needs are a match. And now I see how and why. Someone has said anonymously that the two greatest days in our lives are the day we're born and the day we discover why. I know all of us in this room have experienced that first, right? We're all born. But what about that second? What does that phrase do inside of you? The day we discover why. Have you had that day? Maybe more than once. Season to season, that changes our sense of purpose and identity and calling, vocation, the way God has gifted us to be in the world in self-giving ways that bring us deep fulfillment. The day we're born and the day we discover why we've been born. I was standing on the curb as a busload of choristers unloaded. They were coming from Dallas to Austin to sing in the church I served in, and then going on from there, I struck up a conversation with the bus driver, Herb. I said, "My, you've been a long way today in that big bus." He said, "Oh, you don't know the half of it. I live in Tulsa. I drove my bus from Tulsa to Dallas to pick up this choir, then Dallas to Austin, we're here 2 days, then we're going to Houston. We'll be there 2 days, then we're going back to Dallas. I'll drop them off there and then head back home to Tulsa. I said, you got to be tired by the end of all that. He almost cut me off and said, I love this work. I used to stock vending machines. And that was okay. I liked driving that big truck. I thought that was what my purpose was. And then several years ago, this opportunity came up and I said yes and I tried it. And then I realized my real purpose, my real joy is taking people where they need to go. From one place to another place. I love this work. I was born for it. Got pretty dramatic there with Herb on the side of the curb outside the church that day. And I wonder if you know those words as your own. Yet. I was born for this. Maybe you did know them a season ago or two or three, but it's been a while. The day we were born and the day we discover why, and then the next day we discover why, that can happen several times or 100. The point is letting it happen, encountering Jesus in such ways that the Word who was in the beginning creating the cosmos is still in our lives wanting to offer another Genesis in our own frame that we feel called to life as though born again. Discovery is one way that happens. I'm reminded of the poem by Rumi. There is a candle in your heart that waits to be kindled. Discovery. Another way we come to that new birth is recovery. That's a much more difficult and arduous and even painful experience. And I know it is a story many of us could tell, where we did not know at a certain point if we would see the sun again. Something painful, something excruciatingly difficult, a grief, an illness, a loss, a disorientation, a catastrophe in our lives, and we were not sure what would happen next. Addiction, a failed relationship, any number of things can plunge us into that darkness. And we ask the question with the poet, will there ever be a morning? Is there such a thing as day? And then, by the grace of God, there is. The sun also rises, and over time, and by the wending of God's healing grace in our lives, by a decision we make to die to whoever we were, the brokenness, the addiction, the betrayal, the failure, and be open to a new birth, we are alive again. And the phrase we bring to that new experience is, I lived to tell about it. Do you know what I mean? You've been there. I've been there. We've been close to someone who has, which is the same thing. By recovery, we come back to life. We experience another Genesis. Thomas Jefferson was in his 60s when he left the White House. In his 60s, in his day, that was ancient. He was aged, and the rigors and slings and arrows and trials and tribulations of that highest office in the land for 8 years, from 1801 to 1809. The Burr Conspiracy, the British pirates on the Atlantic trying to intercept American commerce, and on and on and on and on. 8 years of that, he was exhausted by the end of it, returned home to his Monticello estate. And more to the point, returned to his garden. And in that place, close to the land, he was rejuvenated, brought back to life. He wrote to his friend, "No occupation is so delightful to me as the garden, such a variety of subjects, the failure of one thing repaired by the success of another, continued harvest throughout the year." And then he said the most remarkable thing. "Though an old man, I am but a young gardener." Do you know the experience of being a young gardener? When Nicodemus said, "How can someone be born after having grown old?" I think it was a figure of speech. Growing old happens in lots of ways. Cynicism, weariness, jadedness, despair, brokenness, grief, illness. Lots of ways to grow old, even when we're young. Can someone be born even after growing old? Can someone become a young gardener? By the grace of God, through an encounter with Jesus, the Word, who was in creation in Genesis and is in another Genesis in you and me and us together, yes. Rumi, there is a candle in your heart that waits to be kindled. There is a void in your soul that waits to be filled. Do you feel it? I invite you to an encounter with Jesus. That is what Lent is for us. That is what John's Gospel gives us, these beautiful words, these exchanges. We get to overhear and possibly hear our own voice in the exchange. The possibility of God lifting us from chaos to order, from darkness to light, from a void to fullness. The work of creation, another Genesis inside of you and me, to be born again. Elie Wiesel knew a lot about another Genesis, survivor of concentration camps. He said, "God has a secret with humanity, not how to begin. The secret God has with humanity is how to begin again."